When you get to heaven, God is not going to say, why weren't you more like Pastor Rick? Now, I could understand him saying that, honestly, really. But he's not going to say that. He's not going to say, why weren't you more like so-and-so? Why weren't you more like you? You can't focus on your purpose while you're focusing on other people. He says, you just do the best you can.
In order to know the purpose or function of something, whether it's a new device or tool, some sort of gadget or whatever, you need to look at the instruction manual. Even better, you should seek out the designer or the maker of the object in question. After all, who knows more about it than the one who created it? Hello, and welcome again to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called The Life You Were Meant to Live. In this series, Pastor Rick Warren will help you discover in the Scriptures what God had in mind for your life when He, quite literally, invented you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a life-changing tool that will show you how to re-energize your spiritual life in ways you may have never dreamed possible. To find out more, go to PastorRick.com right now while you listen to today's broadcast, or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called Evicting Envy from Your Heart.
In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells a story that gives us the tips, gives us the keys, gives us the solutions to overcoming envy in our lives. Let me read this story to you. It's here on the screen, Matthew chapter 20. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who owns some land. One morning, he went out very early to hire people to work in his vineyard. The owner agreed to pay the workers $1 for working that full day." That was the standard thing, $1 for a day, a denarius a day. "Then he sent them in the vineyard to work. About 9 o'clock, the owner went out to the marketplace and saw people standing there doing nothing. So he said, 'If you'll go work in my vineyard, I'll pay you too what your work is worth.'" No, he doesn't tell them how much. He just said, "I'll pay you what your work is worth." So these people also went to work in the vineyard. About 12 o'clock and again at 3 o'clock, the owner went out and did the same thing, hiring more workers. Finally, about 5 o'clock, the owner went to the marketplace one last time, and he saw others standing there, and he asked, "Why did you stand here all day doing nothing?" And they said, "Because no one gave us a job." The man said, then you can go and work in my vineyard too." Now, at the end of the day, the owner of the vineyard said to his supervisor, "Call all the workers and pay them, but start with the last people I hired and end with those I hired first." Now, when the workers who were hired at 5 o'clock came to get their pay, each of them received a full dollar. So when the workers hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they'd be paid more than the late workers. But each one of them also received $1. Now, when they were paid, they complained to the landowner, "Those guys you hired last only worked for an hour, but you paid them the same as you paid us who worked hard all day in the hot sun." The vineyard owner said, "Friend, I'm being fair to you. You agreed to work for $1. So take your pay and go. I mean, what is it to you if I want to give the men hired last the same pay that I gave you? What's it to you? Can't I not do whatever I want with my own money? Why are you envious because I am generous to others? Why are you envious because I am generous to others?" Now, Jesus concluded the story saying, "So, those who have the last place now will have the first place in the future. And those who have the first place now will be given last place in the future." Now, this story is filled with spiritual truth. I don't have time to pull out all the implications of it, but I want us to look at it from the angle that Jesus is talking about here. Why are you envious because I'm generous to others? And in this story, he tells us, gives an example of the four things you have to do to eradicate, to eliminate, to evict envy from your heart. Here they are. Number one, never compare myself to others. That's the starting point. Never compare myself to others. Now, comparing is the root of all envy. If you can get rid of comparing in your life, you can get rid of envy in your life. Every time you compare, you are being set up for envy. So he says, don't compare. Never compare yourself. The problem with these guys, the Bible tells us in Matthew 20, verse 9 and 10, those hired last came up and were each given a dollar. And when those who were hired first saw that, they assumed they'd get far more. Circle the word saw that. That was the source. They were comparing. They saw that other people were getting the same amount that they were getting for a different amount of work. They shouldn't have been watching. Anytime you compare, you're setting yourself up for envy. And the Bible tells us, don't do this. Don't compare yourself. And here's the problem. Comparing is our favorite indoor sport.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word daily to 99000.
It doesn't matter how much you work out or how healthy you may eat. If you're not feeding and exercising your spirit, you're going to feel run down and tired. You'll run out of gas. You've got to do more than just take care of your body. You've got to energize your spirit. And the best way to do that is with God's Word. That's why we've put together an incredible new tool called Re-Energize Your Life. In this first-of-its-kind guide created from Pastor Rick's most practical teaching, you will learn everything you need to know to re-energize your life the way God intended. Step by step, you will begin a journey of restoration and renewal. It's a hands-on guide you take at your own pace. No need to rush. In fact, we encourage you to stop and linger where you want to spend more time. You'll benefit from biblical wisdom and learn how to apply it to your life in practical ways. You'll learn how to let Jesus lighten your load and discover the key to a balanced life. Not only will you discover how to relieve stress, Pastor Rick will show you how to discover your purpose and build margin into your schedule. You'll have time to reflect and celebrate your progress as you take steps toward getting ready to be used by God. This brand new, high-quality, vegan leather-bound, four-color journal experience book is a user-friendly, interactive powerhouse. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed with full-color devotionals, verses, and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. Don't let your inner man or inner woman settle for a spiritually bland existence. Reach for more with this brand new tool called Re-Energize Your Life by Pastor Rick Warren. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the book, Re-Energize Your Life by Pastor Rick Warren. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours, or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the 2016 NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
We compare everything. We compare how we look, our size, our shape, our color, how we talk, our intelligence. We compare our families, our kids, our husbands, our wives. We compare our jobs. We compare talent. We compare literally everything. We compare lawns. We compare dishes. We compare literally everything. You know, in baseball, there is a statistic for everything. So everybody can be number one in something. Everybody gets an award. This is the best at this. This is the best at that. This is the best at this. And it's constant comparing. Now, God warns about the foolishness of you comparing yourself to anybody else. Really, you can't do it because you are unique. It's like comparing submarines and tangerines. They sound alike, but they're different. And you're not like anybody else. So every time you compare yourself, God says, that's foolish. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, we do not dare to classify or compare. To classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare them with themselves, they are not wise. And that word not wise in Greek means stupid. You're dumb, 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 dumb. You're stupid. You're silly. You're foolish anytime you compare. Why? Because every time you compare, you're going to fall guilty to either pride or envy. Pride or envy. You're always going to find somebody who's doing a better job than you, and you get full of envy. You're always going to find somebody you're doing a better job than, you get full of pride. Either way, you're dead in the water. You're going to always find somebody who's better looking than you, you get full of envy. Always find somebody you're better looking than, you get full of pride. You can always find somebody you're richer than, you get full of pride. You find somebody who's not as rich as you, you get, or more richer than you, you get full of envy. Pride or envy are always the results of comparing. And God says, it's foolish. You shouldn't do it. You are unique. You are one of a kind. You are incomparable. So why are you doing that? I don't have her talents. I don't have his looks. I don't have her kids. I don't have his opportunity. How come he gets to be famous? How come he gets the corner office? How come she gets all of that? How come she got that husband? And on and on and on. And all you're doing is setting yourself up for misery. The Bible says this in Galatians 6:4. Let everyone be sure to do his very best. For then he'll have the personal satisfaction of work done well, and won't need to compare himself to somebody else. As I said, when you get to heaven, God is not going to say, why weren't you more like Pastor Rick? Now, I could understand him saying that, honestly, really. But he's not going to say that. He's not going to say, why weren't you more like so-and-so? Why weren't you more like you? You can't focus on your purpose while you're focusing on other people. He says, you just do the best you can. Now, listen to me very closely. God has not called me to be the best pastor in the universe. God hadn't even called me to be the best pastor in California. God has called me to be the best pastor I can possibly be, given my background, my opportunities, and the talents he gave me. Does that make sense? God has not called you to be the best in the world at anything. It's nonsense. God hasn't called you to be the best in the world at anything. God has called you to be the best you can possibly be, given the background, the experiences, the talent that he gave you, and the talent he didn't give you. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to be judged on talent you didn't have. You're not going to be judged on opportunities you weren't given. You are going to be judged on where you lived, when you lived, how you lived, and what you did with what you were given. Your job is not to be the best in the world at anything. Your job is to be the best you can possibly be, given the circumstances and the sovereignty factors that God put in your life. Never, never, never compare yourself to others. And you know what that is? That is a counterculture message. Because everything in America says, compare everything you've got to everybody else. And the advertising all pushes you daily to make the comparison. Never compare myself to others. Number two, celebrate God's goodness to others. Now, this is the positive, the backside of it. There's something I should not do, and there's something I should do. I should not compare myself to others, but I should celebrate God's goodness to others, God's generosity to others. When I see God blessing other people, I should be happy. Be happy when God blesses other people. Now, the Bible tells us this, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. You know what? The first part of that sentence is easy. The second part is tough. It's quite easy to weep with those who weep. When somebody's having a tough time, it's easy to be sympathetic. I mean, they may even be a competitor and their sales have gone in the toilet and nothing's happening and or they've lost their job, and you can put your arm around and say, now Tom, now Joe, I know it's going through tough. We're going through a tough time right now economically, but you're going to make it. It's easy to encourage people when they're down. What we can't stand is when they get a promotion. We're not very good at handling the success of other people. Rather than rejoicing in it, we resent it. We regret it. We wish it didn't happen. In fact, we wish bad things would happen to people because somehow we think that if we can blow out somebody else's candle, ours will shine brighter. It won't. It won't. But it is this myth that if they have it, then I don't. There's plenty of God's grace to go around. And if God wants to pay other people the same amount, so what? I shouldn't even worry about what he wants to give other people. I should worry about what I'm doing with what I've been given. So, I celebrate God's goodness to others. I said it's easy to sympathize when others are down, but we have a very hard time handling other people's success. It threatens us. And instead of rejoicing over generosity of the owner, of God, the workers resented it. Verse 10 and 11, the workers who had been hired first thought that they would be given more than the others. But when they were given the same, they began complaining. Do you do that? Are you complaining all the time? Lord, why does she have that? Why does she have good health and I don't have good health? Why did she get those gorgeous legs and I don't have those gorgeous legs? Why does he get that wife and I didn't get a wife? Well, I'm still single. Why? And we're always complaining. The owner of the vineyard, the owner said, are you envious because I'm generous to them? Now, let me explain envy to you. Envy happens closest to you. It happens in your relationship to peers. You don't typically envy people who aren't your peers. Now, you can have some kind of idol worship where you say, I wish I were like that superstar, something like that. But really, it's not as grating as the people closest to you. Those are the people you have the hardest time seeing success in. Those who are family and friends. When they succeed and you don't. You see, athletes envy other athletes. And they envy the athletes in their profession. Skateboarders don't envy football players. And surfers don't envy tennis players. Surfers envy other surfers. Skateboarders envy other skateboarders. Because they go, why can't I be that? Why can't I do that trick? I wish I had the money to buy that board. I wish I could get that wetsuit. And you always envy the people like you most. So, moms envy other moms. Salesmen envy other salesmen. And authors envy other authors. And musicians envy other musicians. And doctors envy other doctors. And preachers envy other preachers. And so this is insidious, and it comes in and ruins all these relationships in your life. It devalues others, it destroys relationships, and it makes you miserable. It's hidden, but it's destructive. But more than that, it causes you to miss out on so much joy. You've wanted to be married, but you're not married, or you were married and it fell apart, and now you hate weddings. And when you get a wedding invitation, you start resenting, she's getting married? Do you know what she looks like and she's getting married? Oh, come on, give me a break. Okay, the guy must be blind, I mean, really. And so you don't like weddings because you think that her candle shining puts out yours. You're wrong. You've always wanted to have a baby and it didn't happen. And every time you get a birth announcement, there's that little twinge of resentment. And you're not rejoicing, you're regretting, you're resenting. That's envy, and it's mean. It's mean, because you can't enjoy other people. Somebody else gets a promotion, and you resent it. Somebody else has a windfall, and you resent it. Somebody else gets a new car, and you resent it. Let me give you a little tip on being joyful. You'll enjoy life a whole lot more if you will learn to be happy over the successes of other people. If you're only happy in your successes, you're going to be happy about that much in life because your successes are going to come few and far between. So most of your life, you're going to be miserable if you're only happy when things go good for you, because they don't always go good for you or anybody else. But if you learn to be happy at other people's successes, if you learn to enjoy other people's celebrations, you can be happy all the time. I'm genuinely known as a pretty joyful person. Why? Because I enjoy your successes. I don't have to do them. I enjoy yours. If you get a new car, I'm not going, oh man, I'm driving a 12-year-old Ford out there, which I am. But that doesn't bother me. I'm happy for you. You got a new car? I'm happy for you. You move into a bigger house? Great. I've lived in my house for the same 20, I don't know, or so years. I'm happy for you. I'm glad for you to have a new house. You get a promotion or something happens, I'm happy for you. You know, that makes me, allows me to be happy all the time, because something's good happening to somebody all the time. But if you're only happy when it happens to you, you're going to be miserable most of your life. You need to celebrate God's goodness to others. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love does not envy. In fact, envy is unloving. Envy, as I said, is mean-hearted. It's mean-spirited, because you want the other people to fail because you don't have it. I want them to lose their job because I lost my job. I want them to hurt because I hurt. Envy is the most unloving thing you can do to somebody else. Love is not envious.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Pastor Rick will be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It doesn't matter how much you work out or how healthfully you may eat. If you're not feeding and exercising your spirit, you're going to feel run down and tired. You'll run out of gas. You've got to do more than just take care of your body. You've got to energize your spirit. And the best way to do this is with God's Word. That's why we put together an incredible new tool called Re-Energize Your Life. In this first-of-its-kind guide created from Pastor Rick's most practical teaching, you'll learn everything you need to know to re-energize your life the way God intended. Step by step, you'll begin a journey of restoration and renewal. It's a hands-on guide you'll take at your own pace. No need to rush. In fact, we encourage you to stop and linger where you want to spend more time. You'll benefit from biblical wisdom and learn how to apply it to your life in practical ways. You'll learn how to let Jesus lighten your load and discover the key to a balanced life. Not only will you learn how to relieve stress, Pastor Rick will show you how to discover your purpose and build margin into your schedule. You'll have time to reflect and celebrate your progress as you take steps toward getting ready to be used by God. This brand new, high-quality, vegan leather-bound, four-color journal experience book is a user-friendly, interactive powerhouse. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed full of color devotionals, verses, and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. Don't let your inner man or inner woman settle for a spiritually bland existence. Reach for more with this brand new tool called Re-Energize Your Life by Pastor Rick Warren. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the book Re-Energize Your Life by Pastor Rick Warren. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours, or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Thank you, everybody, for listening today. I just want to thank you again for your prayers and your financial support. You know, it's your gifts that make this broadcast possible. By the way, I wonder if you would just take a moment to write me and let me know how you're doing. Let me know how this broadcast has blessed you. These letters make my day. And if you can, include a gift to help us keep going. My email address is rick@pastorrick.com. Now that's two R's in the middle, rick@pastorrick.com. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks again. Be sure to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.